on BBC Radio 4.
Why have we stopped?
High drama, Mr. Beam.
Available now on BBC Sounds.
This is
BBC Radio 4
Extra.
Next, we have the final chapter of Sam Selvon's classic 1956 novel about the lives of a group of Caribbean immigrants in London. As summer arrives, Moses' friend Harris organises a dance, and Moses contemplates his life after 10 years in the capital. With language of the time, Don Warrington reads The Lonely Londoners.
Is the place for me.
Oh, what a time it is when summer come to the city, and all them girls wearing light summer frocks, and you could course a lime in the park and negotiate 10 shillings or a pound with the sports. Everywhere you turn, the English people smiling. Isn't it a lovely day? As if the sun burn away all the tightness and strain that was in their faces. Don't ever be surprised at who you meet up cruising and reclining in the park. It might be your boss, or it might be some big professional fella, because it may have no discrimination in the park. Summer does really be hearts. Every year, the ranks augmented with fresh blood. Lately, in view of the big set of West Indians that storm in Britain, it have a lot of dark women who in the racket. It have some white fellas who feel it's a big thrill to hit a black number, and the girls does make them pay big money. But as far as spades hitting spades, it have nothing like that, for a spade wouldn't hit a spade when it have so much other talent on parade. People wouldn't believe you when you tell them the things that happen. The cruder you are, the more the girls like you. They don't want you to play la-di-da or try to be polite and civilized. They want you to live up to the films and stories they hear about black people living primitive in the jungles of the world. That is why you will see so many of them African fellas in the city with scar on their face and a ferocious expression going about with some real sharp chicks. One night at a party in Knightsbridge, bags of women and fellas drinking champagne. Moses sit wondering how the English feel they can't get big thrills unless they have a black man in the company. And when Moses leave, they push 5 pounds in his hand and say, that was a jolly good show. That is life. That is London. Oh Lord, Galahad say, when the sweetness of summer get in him. He would never leave the old Britain as long as he live. And Moses sigh a long sigh, like a man who live life and see nothing at all in it, and who frightened as the years go by, wondering what it is all about. One Saturday, Moses' friend Harris was giving a dance in St. Pancras Hall. He is a fella who liked to play la-di-da. He liked English customs and thing. Harris moving among the big shots because of the work he does do, which is to organize little fetes like dance and party and so on. And when he dress, bowler and umbrella, and briefcase tucked under the arm, but the Times fold up in the pocket, so the name show. Only thing, Harris face black. On the Saturday of the fete, there Harris is, standing up by the door in black suit and bow tie, greeting all the English people with a pleasant good evening and how do you do, and a not so pleasant greeting for the boys. For if one thing he afraid is that the boys make rab and turn the dance into a brawl. Moses arrives. Behind him, Tolroy appear with an English chick, and after him, Ma and Tanti.
Harris! Tanti scream out. You don't remember neighbor who used to live behind you in George Street?
I'm afraid, Harris start to stammer.
But look how big the boy get,
Tanti bawl.
When I hear that is you, little Harris, who used to run about the barrack yard in shirt tail, who given this fate? I say, I must come and see you. Ma, look at little Harris, how big he get.
Yes, yes, I remember you, Harris say quickly, giving Tanti a push.
But Auntie didn't budge. "Don't push," she say. "Have some respect for your elders. I'm not going to dance until you come inside. I want the first set with you. It still have some life in the old hen." Inside the hall was a real jam session. The girls stand up in groups here and there, and the boys liming out by the bar. And Moses, as usual, like a minor master of ceremonies with the boys, giving them ballad as they coast a drink. "All you see that?" Moses say. "Look, Tolroy bring the whole family to Harry's fate. Oh God, what it coming to now? Tolroy!" And when Tolroy come, all the boys begin to give him tone. "What happened? You couldn't leave the old lady home? You think this is Jamaica? You bring an old hen to dance?" All this time, the steel band blasting some hot numbers and Harris moving about the crowd, saying hello to everybody. It really looked like he have some white laddie da there, for it have four of them sitting at a table in the corner drinking, but none of them dancing. Harris make his way to the table. "How you getting on?" ask one of the young women, like an attendant when you're trying on a new pair of shoes. He feel it was up to him to ask the thing to dance, seeing like they look shy to take the floor. She hem a little, then she get up. Now, all this time, Tanti was looking for Harris. And when he take the floor with this sharp thing, Tanti get up and push away dancers as she advanced to Harris. "My boy," she say, putting her hand on his shoulder, "I've been looking for you all over. What happened? You're avoiding the old lady, eh? Too much young girl here to bother with Tanti, eh?" Harris say, "Will you kindly wait until I'm finished? We shall dance the next set." "You're too smart. When the next set come, I wouldn't find you," Tanti say. "Tell this girl to unlace you. These English girls don't know how to dance calypso, man. Lady, excuse him." And before Harris know what happening, Tanti swing him in the center of the floor, swinging she fat bottom left and right. It had a fella there called 5 past 12. A Tess look at him one day. "Boy, you black like midnight." Then, after a second look, "No, you more like 5 past 12. 5 was real high. A look in his eyes as if he's seeing things men does only see in their dreams. But he was quick enough to see the white girl standing up there helpless while Tanti take Harris away. Before the girl had time to make her way back to the table, she was in 5's arms, and he was close hauling this number, like if the band playing a slow, sentimental fox instead of "Fan me, Saga boy, fan me." Half the boys saying, "Look how Tanti have Harris," and the other half saying, "Look at the old 5 beating close to the wind with Harris girl." Afterwards, 5 went over to Moses and Galahad, who talk at the bar. Soon, Harris joined them as if nothing happened and ordered a drink. Harris worry about 5 smoking weed and make rab. When the fed finish and the band playing God Save the Queen, Harris say, forgetting to speak proper English for a minute, "Some of you have a habit of walking about as if the fed's still going on. The English people will say we are still uncivilized and don't know how to behave properly. So please, boys, do me a favor. Remember, when the band play God Save the Queen, stand up to attention." Nearly every Sunday morning, like if they're going to church, the boys liming in Moses' room, coming together like if it's confession, sitting down on the bed, on the floor, on the chairs, everybody asking what happening, laughing, asking Moses if he have anything to eat, the gas going low, and everybody turning out their pockets for this shilling that would mean the difference between shivering and feeling warm. Until conscience hit one of them and he say, "Apps, look, I have a shilling. It was right down in the bottom of my trouser pocket." Sometimes, listening to them, he look in each face and he feel a great compassion for every one of them, as if he live each of their lives one by one and all the strain and stress come to rest on his shoulders. Sometimes, after they're gone, he hear their voices ringing in his ear, and sometimes tears come to his eyes. And he don't know why, really.
if it's homesickness or if it's just that life in general beginning to get too hard. 10 years, the old man in Britain, and what to show for it? What happened during all that time, from winter to winter, summer to summer, work after work, sleep, eat, hustle pussy, work, and a look come in his face that bring all the years of suffering to light. London is a lonely, miserable city. Nobody does really accept you. I want to go back to Trinidad and lay down in the sun and dig my toes and eat a fish broth and go Maracas Bay and talk to them fishermen. And all day long, I sleeping under a tree with just the old sun for company. Every year, he vowing to go back. But after the winter and then the old sun shining, it's as if life start all over again. I will wait until after the summer. The summer does really be hearts. But he know it reached that stage where he gets so accustomed to the pattern that he can't do anything about it. He used to wonder about back home, where he have a grandmother and a girlfriend who always writing him why he don't come back, that they would go and live in Grenada where her father have a big estate. Why you don't go back to Trinidad? What happening, man? What happening? One night, liming on the embankment near to Chelsea, Moses stand up on the bank of the river, watching the lights of the buildings reflecting in the water, thinking he should try to make it back by next year before he change his mind again. Under the kif-kif laughter, behind the ballad and the episode, the what happening, the summer is hearts, he could see a great aimlessness, a great restless, swaying movement that leaving you standing in the same spot, as if a forlorn shadow of doom fall on all the spades in the country, as if, on the surface, things don't look so bad. But when you go down a little, you bounce up a kind of misery and pathos and a frightening what? He don't know the right word, but he have the right feeling in his heart. As if the boy's laughing, but they only laughing because they're afraid to cry. They only laughing because to think so much about everything would be a big calamity. Like how he here now, the thought so heavy, like he unable to move his body. Still, it have a greatness and a vastness in the way he was feeling tonight. Like it was something solid after feeling everything else give way. And though he ain't getting no happiness out of the cogitations, he's still pondering. For it's the first time that he ever find himself thinking like that. One of the boys was telling him how over in France, all kinds of fellas writing books were turning out to be bestsellers. Taxi driver, porter, road sweeper, it didn't matter. One day you're sweating in the factory, and the next day, all the newspapers have your name and photo, saying how you are a new literary giant. He watched a tugboat on the Thames, wondering if he could ever write a book like that, what everybody would buy. It was a summer night. Laughter fell softly. It was the sort of night that if you wasn't making love to a woman, you feel you was the only person in the world like that.
The Lonely Londoners by Sam Selvon was read by Don Warrington, abridged by Loris Morgan Griffiths and produced by Sarah Davies. And next week we'll hear a story that's set just a couple of years later in 1950s London. It's Colin McInnes's cult classic about youth culture, cool music and racial tension. Absolute Beginners runs all next week at the same time.